May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. The lie we're going to take up this morning is all you need is love from 1 Corinthians 13. So what tops the list of the most misunderstood or misused words in the English language? I mean, yeah, thank you. Love. Does he love me? I want to know. How can I tell if he loves me so? Oh, no, you'll be deceived. It's in his eyes. Oh, no, he'll make believe. If you want to know if he loves you so, it's in his kiss. That's where it is. Oh, yeah. Okay, forgive me. All right. So. Yeah. Should have had Andrew or Emily sing it for me. It would have come out a lot better. Yeah. Betty Everett made that a hit in 1964. Some of you weren't even around then. Right? Maybe you already know this, but kisses don't always equal love. The word has been so corrupted, misunderstood, abused, and misused. In our culture today, love is primarily an emotion. I second that emotion. Okay. That's it. No more. And right up front, I'll have to confess, I'm part of the reason that this word has become so adulterated. I say I love ice cream. I love chips. I love Orioles, the Baltimore Orioles. I love seeing Peyton Manning win, especially against the Patriots. I love the Vols. I love the Lady Vols. And that's their name, isn't it? Oh, okay. I love a good character-driven movie. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchild. And yes, I love Jesus. Now, should loving the Baltimore Orioles be in the same ballpark as loving Jesus? I don't think so. To we who have been saved, our sins forgiven, in faith in Jesus, what issues out of that faith is the gift of love, the love he's implanted in us. Yes, now Jesus commands us to love one another as he has loved us. You know, there's a difference, I think, between the commandments in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The commandments in the Old Testament came from Sinai to Moses, right? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. They, in a sense, came from the outside to us, right? But in the New Testament, with the coming of Jesus, something changes. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, and he takes the commandments from out here, and he puts them in here. And he softens our hearts, and we want to keep the commandments. It's not a have to, it's a want to, the way Jesus did. But there remains a big problem. I mean a big problem. And judgment begins with the house of God, right? Begins with Christians. And the big problem is inauthentic love. Inauthentic love. It poisons our relationship with God and others. Superficial love, pretend love, insincere love. Love is a combination of our thinking, our feeling, but most of all, our doing, our actions. Jesus patented the word love. In the New Testament, Jesus' patenting of this word is a word the Greeks didn't use very much, agape. Sacrificial love. Unbelievable love. Grace. He gave its forever definition. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. There it is, definition of love, its truest form. The Pharisees of Jesus' today, of Jesus' day, were considered the most righteous, the holiest people, the best people on earth. And they appeared to follow every command of God. But they were phonies. They were hypocrites. God's commandments, for instance, had always included watching out for widows. Always. But what did these high-minded Pharisees do? Well, Jesus said it clearly. They devour widows' houses, and all the while making a show with their lengthy prayers. Yeah, they did it all undercover. But then there are those sweet Christians, the sweet Christians of today, who will say all the right things, who will say they love you, but they won't lift a finger to help someone right next to them in need. Their love is hollow. Their love is cosmetic. It isn't love. It isn't. The substance of love is spelled out in our scripture today. Writer Max Lucado, in his book A Love Worth Giving, has a wonderful discussion of 1 Corinthians 13, particularly focusing on verses 4 through 8. He says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. You heard the scripture, right? Several years ago, Lucado said that someone challenged him to replace the word love with his own name. He did it, he said, and promptly became a liar. Max is patient. Max is kind. Max does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. And he said to himself, that's enough. Those words are false. Max is not patient. Max is not kind. Ask my wife and kids. Max can be an out-and-out clod. That was my problem, he said. And for years, the problem with this paragraph, it set a standard I could not meet. No one can meet it. No one except Christ. Then Lucado added these words. Does this passage not describe the measureless love of God? Let's insert Jesus' name in the place of the word love, and it sounds and rings true. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. Jesus is not rude. Jesus is not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. Rather than the scripture remind us of love we cannot produce, says Lucado, let it remind us of a love we cannot resist, God's love. I like what he wrote, but it's incomplete. In the way I've used it, it's quite incomplete. Yes, we will never love as perfectly as Jesus did. But I aspire to love like Jesus did. I seek to love like he did. I aim for it. I yearn to love like Jesus did. In fact, Jesus and the scriptures command us to set our hearts on this desire. It's the target that we should be reaching for, to love like Jesus did. In fact, Jesus commands this. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. 1 John 3. Well, here's this one. A new command I, Jesus, give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And what does that love look like? Well, it looks like patience. How patient are you? Are you a patient person? I haven't seen any of you look at your watch yet and see how long is this going to go on. So be patient with me. It's a short one, actually. It looks like kindness. Well, how kind are you? Looks like humility. It looks like courtesy. It looks like self-sacrifice. It looks like forgiving and forgetting. It looks like despising evil but rejoicing with the truth. It looks like trusting and hoping and persevering always. Now, false love, pretend love, can and does undermine God's whole plan, perverts it. How many of you remember the Peanuts column, the cartoon column? A lot of you do. Is it still running? Yeah. You know the creator of that, he was a devout Christian. And when you look at those Peanuts cartoons, you know, they often have a message, like a parable in them. And one of my favorites, I have a lot of favorites, but one of my favorites, many years ago, I think it's a famous one. It has Schroeder, the piano-loving intellectual. And he was playing the piano, and he was interrupted often by his infatuated admirer. And who would that be? Lucy. You know, I wonder how many people named their kid Lucy after the piano, you know, because of her personality. Lucy. And Lucy asked Schroeder, "Schroeder, do you know what love is?" Schroeder abruptly stopped playing the piano, stood to his feet, and said precisely, "Love, noun, to be fond of, a strong affection, an attachment or devotion to a person or persons." Then he sat back down and resumed playing the piano. Lucy sat there stunned and murmured sarcastically, "On paper, he's great." God's plan has always been to win the world by love. Jesus is God's love gift, and now we are. To the world. And we have to figure out how to get it off the paper and into action. Of course, the Spirit guides us. But the love of Christ needs to be shown in tangible ways through us. And so we start with those closest to us. How can we love our families? You having a tough time with your spouse right now? Hang in there. Learn to love them. Stop thinking about your needs. Think about theirs. Are you estranged from one of your children? You can't be. Do whatever you need to do. Get back with them. Tell them you're sorry. How about those close relatives? How about your grandparents? How about your aunts or uncles? Is there a problem there? Have they taken a shot at you? You got to get back. We're Christians. We got to love our families first. First. And then how about our church family? You know, if you're active in this church, there's someone sitting in a pew near you that absolutely irritates you. They're absolutely just... You know they're kind of a phony or whatever.
Whatever they do, it just drives you up the wall. They sit here. You always sit here. Now you have to sit over here, right? You just find them to be... You know what? God's put them there. He's put people like that to test you. Will you love them? Will you love them and cease to be irritated by them? God does that for us pastors. He generally does it in groups. He puts somebody out there who just drives us crazy. And yet, by the way, for those people like that, for me, I've come to endlessly to love them special. Frankly, what we pastors call them are EGRs, extra grace required. Now I've told you, I shouldn't have told you that, but we have EGRs, people who need our love especially because God's put them there. Yes, do we need to be more patient, more forgiving, more charitable? Yes, we can learn in concrete ways how to love our church family and our own personal families. Then we can enlarge the circle because we were always meant to do this. What about adopting a child through Compassion International? $38 a month. How about a Habitat for Humanity? How about, I know a lot of you have done these things. How about our special relationship with the people of Peru? We have a special relationship. How about loving them? Showing it in a concrete way. We were meant to love the world. But let's get down to brass tacks. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, love is a decision we can make in every instance. Columbia researcher Sheena Iyengar has found that the average person makes 70 conscious decisions every day. That amounts to 25,550 decisions a year. Over 70 years, some of you have reached this, that's 1,788,500 decisions. As the French writer Albert Camus said, life is a sum of all your choices. You put all those 1,788,500 decisions together, and that's who you are. That's who you are. We can make love the operating principle of our life. Is this decision loving? Is it patient? Is it kind? Is it humble? Will love be expressed if I do this? Am I acting in love? Now, there's also a thing called tough love. And sometimes we have to express tough love. Every parent knows this, right? Right? Tough love means bringing down the hammer. Right? But that's a good thing, and it's love. What makes a person a good athlete? I'm asking you. I'm not going to go on until you tell me. What makes a... Absolutely. Who said that? I bet you were a good athlete. What makes a person a good artist? Practice. A good musician? Practice. A good doctor? Oh, my goodness. Oh, see, that's what can happen. A good doctor has to lose a few, right? Practice. There's a famous basketball player named Allen Iverson who said, it's just practice. As he missed practice again and again, you know, it's just practice.
Love is something you can work at. Yes, it's first a gift of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. The first one is love. But if you don't use it, it fades away. If you don't use it, you lose it. But it can be refined. It can be developed. It can be improved. Practice love. We should aim to have that Christ-like nature to its fullest development. Practice love. It's a skill that can be learned. You can cultivate an opportunity of alertness when love needs to be offered right here. Love needs to be given right there. We should excel in love. As a community of faith, as a church, we need to individually and collectively reject the lie that love is simply an emotion that comes and goes. Instead, we need to team up together and, starting right here, demonstrate what love really is. It's a willingness to lay down our lives for each other. It's a willingness to put our needs and desires on the back and put their needs ahead of ours. This kind of love was lavished on us, the Father, in sending us Jesus. So let's be clear. What's the lie? Love is just an emotion, and it comes and goes. What's the truth? Love is the supreme gift that comes to us because Jesus died on a cross for us. He gave up his life for us. And now he pours that very same supernatural love into our hearts. And we can practice it, and we can use it, and we can make it the operating principle of our lives. Let's love for all it's worth. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your heart.